Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. This familiar passage goes on to say that God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save it, because those who don't believe in him are condemned already. Today we are discussing the full package deal that Christ paid for us on the cross. So join in the conversation as we explore the benefits of the resurrected life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
My, stop and think about the agony and the grief that he absorbed in his body for all of our sins of mankind. Yeah. When he hung on that cross.
And we just can't even imagine.
No.
We say it, there's words, but we cannot even, I can't even imagine the agony.
If you get a pit in your stomach, it is probably the most of reality that we can comprehend. But he hung on the cross because we didn't get it right. We were deceived. We did follow the enemy. And so you and I have a passion for people, fishing for men and women and boys and girls that can know the truth. Even if it's, you know, when you go fishing, you don't put a great big frog on your hook. You bait it little piece at a time, maybe a little fat, maybe a worm, but it's a little piece at a time. And you have given me some good exhortation to say, Janie, let's just look at this a little bit of a time. Let's just fish for the truth and tearing down strongholds, misconceptions, and take it to where we can see the beauty of you know, we talk about the benefit package of salvation and all, everything given to us as a free gift, but that wouldn't have amounted to anything if we hadn't have had resurrection.
That's right. That's right.
So the benefit package that comes with resurrection, when we stop and think about how that places us in a position of being able to live in enjoyment and contentment with him, live in true worship with him, and he's given us the destiny that he desires for us, but then we have to say, will we accept that destiny? Because it has a price. Mm-hmm. And when I speak of the word destiny, I'm not speaking of salvation. That's a gift of God. But the salvation he's given us, now how do we want to let him empty us of self and selfishness, replacing it with him so that our destiny will not suffer loss?
Okay.
And a lot of Christians don't understand that even being in the family of God, we are going to have a judgment seat that is called the Bema, and we are going to give an account. And we need to take that into consideration so that we will not suffer loss.
Well, Janie, what is Bema?
Well,
and where does that come from?
Well, I believe it's a Greek word, and it originated back with games when people would run the games, the athletic games, and then there would be a wreath or a reward. I have a mind picture of there being like a nice big throne sitting up on top of an elevated platform with stairs, and the winners of the races would then ascend and receive their wreaths, And we apply that nowadays to also include crowns and rewards, many of which we don't understand what they are. One of the things, Sharon, I used to read when my walk with the Lord was not as deep, I used to read about all the things that He has prepared in Revelations 2 and 3 for the overcomers. Mm-hmm. The rewards that we're going to receive, and I would read that, and I think, okay, a new name. Well, my name's okay the way it is. Or I'll give you a tree of life. Well, okay. But you see, those are things that we can't even comprehend, but those are the things that are important to the mind of God, because these are His chosen rewards to give to the one who's faithful.
So the Bema is, or Bema, sorry, is like an altar or an
elevated platform, okay. as I understand it. Now,
and that's the judgment seat of Christ.
And that's the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
That is
all right.
Mentioned all over the scriptures, some in direct ways and some in more subtle ways. One of the ways it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ is a lot of times it'll say in that day.
So when the participants of the game would go up those stairs, they would find out how they ran the race or how they did in the games.
Yes.
And so basically the same concept for us is when we climb those stairs and
receive, yes.
We'll see how we ran our race for Christ.
Yes, and some of them will know that they will already be a winner. Like some will know that they'll be there to receive the crown for winning souls. That will be an absolute. Now they may be surprised as to how many souls were influenced. They may have thought they won 300 and then found out they won 3,000. All, of course, by the grace of God. So I think there will be some joyful praise. I'm afraid there's going to also be a little bit of oh my, I did that in my own strength and it's worthless. So your and my privilege is to just dissect a little bit what we can see from the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And one way to start off today is let's find a truth out of 1 John 4, 17 through 21.
1 John 4, 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love.
Okay, the words that stand out to me there when you first started out is that in this way, love is made complete or mature or perfect among us so that we will have boldness and confidence on the day of judgment. Now, Sharon, stop and think, if we were to go into a regular courtroom and we knew that we had already been declared innocent, and that somebody had already paid the price for us, then we would know that our character would allow us to have boldness as we go before the judge, because we know the case has really already been settled, and now we are there to get the declaration that we are innocent because of a person, Jesus Christ. So what 1 John 4 tells me is that we need to let love be made perfect. And love is just not, because there's no fear in love.
Right.
All right. But how many of us can say we love with agape love today? I love you with agape love, but do I really love that person over there that's giving me a hard time? that's a little bit more of a test. Is it real? Because the Holy Spirit does not show partiality.
Right.
So if I'm showing partiality,
then you're not walking in the Spirit.
That should be a red flag going up. So then what purpose, knowing that we need to have confidence and we need to have the love being matured in us, what purpose should we be concentrating on then, spending our time? And I was drawn to a verse passage that I had really not used of recent, But if you would go back and read for us Hebrews 13, 20, and 21,
okay,
that gives us an insight as to how we're to make this a reality.
Verse 20 of Hebrews 13 starts, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Now, we have a calling on our lives from Father God, and our mission while we wait here is to allow Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit to fulfill the calling for now and all of eternity. And the words that you read, I'm going to repeat part of them. The God of peace, who brought Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete, mature in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Sharon Hoskins. Oh, no, that says Jesus Christ, doesn't it?
Don't add to, Jamie.
That's right. To whom be glory forever and ever. So here now, we really have the way to be able to have confidence in our love when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we do what he is asking us to do, then he will get this good work prepared in us. That doesn't mean we're going to be passive, roll over and play dead.
Right.
It means we're going to know, reckon, and yield according to Romans 6 what his will is. And he has said we can know his perfect will. But this is what he wants us to do. Everything that we do will be well-pleasing in his sight. It can't be benefiting you or me or ministry or anyone else.
Right.
Now, you know, deep in our hearts, and I think even for non-believers, and of course, I know they don't understand the scriptures because God says they've been blinded, but God does say that he has made everything beautiful in his time, and he also says he has put eternity in our hearts. So there is a craving to know about our future. Mm-hmm. And then the last of that verse causes a lot of people perplexity. And it says, except no one can find out the work that God from the beginning to the end has appropriated. Well, we can't find that out on our own and our own wisdom. It is a mystery. And God has designated how he wants to make that eternity in our hearts known. And you know, can't you usually tell when your heart is troubled or when your heart is seeking and mm-hmm. vexed, irritated, perplexed?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right, and that's where probably anybody who doesn't have Jesus Christ in their hearts today may be listening and wondering, how do I get this peace? How can I find a way that I can look to my future with boldness,
only
with confidence?
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes, and the way that he has asked, mm-hmm. we can say, I think a lot of people hear, well, it's only through Jesus, and they're thinking, yeah, well, he's somewhere off in space and up in heaven yeah. doing whatever he's doing, and I'm here in pain and hurting. How do I get him from heaven down here to me where I'm hurting? Well, we have the Holy Spirit, but then I can't see the color of the eyes of the Holy Spirit because he is a spirit. But he's as real a person as you and I as we're looking across the desk from each other. So what we want to do is continue to just break down a little bit at a time, put a new piece of bacon fat on that fishing hook, and go after it. Some Christians are under the impression, Sharon, and you know, you and I may have been at one time, that we're going to struggle here. It's just going to be one big struggle. And then when we die, we're going to hit heaven and everything's going to be blissful. No consequences, no nothing.
Okay.
Well, we've got to go through a refining process. The Old Testament saints lived a little differently in their economy. It's you obey, I'll bless. You obey, I'll bless. I'll give you the inheritance of your land. I'll give it to you now if you'll obey. Okay. They wouldn't. And just like with Joshua and Caleb, they finally did inherit their land, but they had to go through 40 years of walking around with those Israelites that were into their own thing and mm-hmm. certainly not thinking about the principles of sowing and reaping for the kingdom that we'll get to. And in 5:16, Ephesians 5:16, it tells us that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. So therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, Sharon, we really need to realize that there is a reason why we are spending time here. And it is to prepare ourselves so that we can make ready by the power of the Spirit and the finished work of Jesus Christ so that we're ready to enter heaven. The Lord is not going to allow a bunch of our flesh and gunk to run around heaven for a few hundred or few thousand years and then say, okay, guys, we better get you together. It's my understanding, and I know there can be different views depending on what faith you may come from, but it's my understanding that at the rapture, then we immediately start the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema while the tribulation's going on down here. So we are getting our rewards for what has been done by and through him, but we are also going to be in a vulnerability to suffer loss if we've chose to live, as one singer said, I did it my way.
Well, so what I hear is that as we go up those steps, so to speak, I mean, this is just a
visual picture
for mm-hmm. me. You know, when we talk about the Bema in relating it to the Greek games, they walked up those steps to find out how they ran the race.
Yes.
And Paul talks about us running the race.
Almost
with endurance.
Yes.
Here. And so as Christians, we are running a race with endurance, and that race is Christianity. That race is our daily walk. And so as we go up those steps, it's not just about what we receive. He's going to also show us where we did things
in the flesh.
In the flesh. Is that what I hear you saying?
Okay. Now, let's quickly ease everyone's mind. This has nothing to do with salvation.
Okay.
If you are at the Bema, you are saved and eternally secure.
Okay.
Now, there's another judgment on down the line that's going to be a little bit different. But the one that we're talking about today is, I don't want to use an earthly term, but let's say it's a motivation for us to live a godly life.
Okay.
Sharon, can you imagine ascending those steps and you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and the nail prints will still be in his hands? And he's going to start to review your life. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be in a big flash.
Well, you know, we've often talked about how, you know, maybe it would be on a great big screen, you know, a big screen TV or
with a finger writing it out.
Right. You look at how technology has changed over the years. I imagine 100 years ago, they never dreamed it would be on a big screen TV.
Yeah.
But so, you know, our mind changes and how we think maybe this might occur, but we really have no idea.
No, but one thing that, and I still don't know it, maybe some pastors and teachers do, I always thought maybe this would be a little private interview with the Lord Jesus that everybody else would be out doing something and then he'd call my name and I'd go up. But I've seen other things in scripture and reading that makes me think this may be a public affair, so that if I did something against someone that was not a sin, but I did it in the energy of the flesh, Maybe I even witnessed to him about the Lord, but I was flesh. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord didn't take my fleshly action, and because I gave him the truth of the scripture, they benefited.
Right. His word will not return void.
Yes. Right. But I didn't benefit because I ministered it in the flesh. That's where this is going to be. What did you do?
And this is why the scripture also says that we're accountable for every idle word that we speak.
Oh,
that's scary to me.
Yeah, that kind of makes me grab my breath.
Yeah.
And then someone else has also said that sound waves, which we're doing right now, sound waves never end. Just go out into space and eternity. Now, will he just bring those sound waves right back into a composite and every
let us hear ourselves?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. You talk about wanting to keep your words yea, yea, and nay, nay.
Yeah.
I see new meaning for that. And then, Sharon, as you ascend those steps that we are imagining.
Right.
Now, listeners, we haven't seen the Bema. We are going on what we have read and what we understand in our spirits. And it says that, you know, there's going to be a fire there. The fire is going to test everything. And I've been thinking for a long time, how is that fire? And I shared something with you earlier this morning that I was thinking about, well, like the burning bush. Well, no, the burning bush didn't burn up anything. It just kept burning.
Yeah.
Or a fire like came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Or is it going to be the eyes that are flaming fire from the face of Jesus Christ, to where we ascend and we simply look at him eye to eye, and whatever was not of him is just gone, and we are left with only what he has done. So I could ascend those stairs thinking, what a good girl have I been, and I could leave those stairs crawling down, but so thankful that he still gave me praise for what I did let him do, no matter how small it might be. And one comforting thing, Sharon, is I'm not the judge, but some like Billy Graham will just go, wow, wow. But even if it's the simplest saint that didn't make a real strong showing here, everyone will have praise, and everyone will make up the whole of the body of Christ, so that when the body of Christ is really given as a gift, then it will be whole, and you will be a part of that wholeness and that oneness. And so we will all blend in, and it won't be what you did, what I did
was greater than anyone else.
Yes, it's what the body of Christ as a whole allowed Jesus Christ to do. And I find that exciting.
I want to read 1 Corinthians 15:3 is where we're going. How that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I love that.
That's the gospel in a nutshell.
Yes, it is.
And so somebody could say, well, all right, that sounds good for your religion or your Christianity, but so how do you prove it? So why don't you keep on reading?
Okay. And that he was seen by about 500 brethren at once.
And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me. This is Paul writing. Also, as one born out of due time. So there were hundreds and hundreds of people that are recorded that saw Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. And Sharon, he is the only one that ever came back. Muhammad is still in the grave. The spirits of Buddha and whomever else are still in the graves. We have a risen victor, Savior. And that's why we can trust and walk by faith, because he has said that all of the scripture was given and inspired by him, written down by, men of human flesh, but inspired by his spirit. And so we have just...
He is risen.
And he is alive.
And he is alive.
And Sharon, that was just a couple of little bites on a fishing plug today.
Right.
But hopefully it blessed someone's heart as it did ours.
I hope so too, Janie. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.